Hello and welcome to the Interception Podcast. It's the podcast that just looks every single section of the internet and listens to every single podcast. And we bring all that news to you with all those tidbits and fantasy news and notes that you might miss if you don't spend as much time as we do. We bring it all to you one place so you can just come here, listen to our podcast, and just ignore that other shit because all the news and notes you need is right here on the Interception Fantasy Football Podcast. We are the Whites. Derek, how are you doing this evening? It's early in the week, a Tuesday. Crazy.
Yeah, this is the earliest we've done a podcast. Probably the best time to do it, only because it gives people a chance to actually listen to our podcast. I know Steve has been like waiting anxiously by his, well, it's not even his computer. He's like at a library. He's lost all his money because he's been going on our bed of the weeks, and he just listens to us at the library. But you know, the library, I don't know, it's just not as open as frequently as it used to be, so he's having issues.
Yeah, that's just real life. The worst thing about this week is I lost in both leagues, and I am dreading it, but I'm going back to the Alamo. Alamo Gold, I'm going to do an Alamo Gold shot of the week. I couldn't bring it to myself to leave a $31 bottle of tequila in a hotel last week, so... Or 2 weeks ago. I won last week. So I brought it home. I actually left it in my truck, which was probably a bad idea in retrospect. But it's ice cold now and ready for a sweet, sweet shot. I'm devastated, Derek. I don't know what to do with my team. I feel like it should be good. I feel like both of them should be good. And it's just, it's, I don't know. I'm 2-3, two wins, three losses. And it is devastating. I'm just having a hard time, Derek. So I'm gonna do this shot. I'm gonna go on my sorrows, and maybe you can try to lift my spirits, I guess.
Yeah, for
sure. Spirits as in tequila. All
right, we'll do your shot. Yeah, I hear you saying I'm also 2-3. I lost a stunner by 2 points or 2.5 points going into the Monday, or like after the Monday nighter happened. I had Graham Gano, who originally I had picked as sort of a boom or bust kicker, thinking, you know, he's the kind of kicker that can go off, because I thought I had a lot of guys on bye, so I thought I'd take the chance. And that sort of thinking actually ended up screwing me, because he did the bust, and had he had just gotten like 4 points instead of 2 points, you know, I would have won that game. So I learned a valuable lesson where you don't really think about boom or bust when it comes to kicker. You just look for sort of the highest Vegas line and sort of take the chance. I should have went with John Lambeau. I did cut him for Gano, and... you know, I'm going to be regretting that for the rest of the season, especially if I don't make the playoffs by a game.
Here's my shot. Oh. That one is really bad.
Yeah, man.
Oh, my God. Compared to Julio, that is like just absolute garbage. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This time I at least had water on hand so I could wash it down.
It's interesting. Okay. Yeah, you got it. It's interesting how night and day sort of like Cabo Wabo is to sort of the lower end tequilas. And anybody who thinks tequila sucks, the smoother tequilas are better to drink.
Yeah, there's bad tequila out there, that's for sure. If you go cheap on tequila, that's the experience you're going to have, a cheap experience. if I learned anything in life, you spend that extra $100, especially in tequila. In prostitution. Okay, moving on.
So I'm looking at your team, like the one in the Yahoo League. And
yeah,
it's not, you know, it's not bad. Yeah, I don't know. It's your wide receivers are good. Like, obviously, I guess you're a little pissed off.
But they're
about
not,
Jeffrey.
Man. Alshon Jeffrey is like, it seems like he's just not there this year. I feel like I want to move him, and I've been wanting to move him for the last 3 weeks, but I just can't because he doesn't have that value.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just tough, man. No, and you have to start him, because I'm not going to start Devontae Parker over him because he's not really reliable either. No, so now no, I'm no. kind of stuck in like a fucking pickle, man. It's brutal. My running backs also aren't great, but I knew that going into the season I wasn't going to have great running backs. That's what you get when you draft – running back, then wide receiver, right after one after another, and then your two running backs, Amir Abdullah and what's his name from Chicago,
Langford,
go down on you. It's two injuries, man. What are you supposed to do in this situation? I have Terrence West. I'm hoping that with that offensive coordinator change in Baltimore, maybe I have something there. But it is just there's nothing more depressing than Monday, going into that Monday nighter and just hoping for Cameron Brate to give you like 50 points. Like, and realistically, I know it's not going to happen, but you talk yourself into it thinking maybe it can happen. And fuck, man, Cameron Brate, like, give me a break.
He had that one catch. Yeah, it was a tough game. Well, especially for me as well, because I was hoping for a higher scoring game, and then obviously all of a sudden Tampa Bay's running it like they're maniacs. And that brings me into something I really noticed because of that running, sort of them trying to keep the ball away from Jameis Winston. Doug Martin, right now it's the perfect time to go get Doug Martin. You know, he's on a bye this week. He should be coming back. He's somebody you have to be targeting. Now, we've been talking about targeting him for the last couple of weeks, but it's do or die time. And I think Doug Martin, you know, there's potential there, especially considering like Jaquizz Rodgers just got 32 carries, you know, so he's somebody I want to pick up.
Maybe I go with the Martin owner with Jeffries and West and see what I get. But man, I guess that would actually screw me for this week if I do that, because I was going to start West.
Yeah.
But maybe I start James White. Anyways, this isn't really relate to anyone else's team, but these are the kind of things you got to do. You got to start realizing what you have. Maybe I push, like, I really don't think I should, but maybe you push Marshall. I have Brandon Marshall, who I think is probably one of my better players on my team, probably one of the more reliable players on my team. And I try to get myself a decent running back and maybe a lower end wide receiver two or three.
Yeah.
It's brutal, man.
It's a little brutal.
It was a tough day.
Oh, yeah. Well, it sucks just losing in general, right? So it just gets to you. I think if you try to flip White and Jeffrey to the right person just for like a slight upgrade of wide receiver, that might not be a bad move. Like, I don't know. John White might be a guy that you might want with the Brady back, but there's a little bit value there. You can sort of pitch the Brady coming back thing and, you know. And obviously Jeffrey.
But Deion Lewis, man, right? Deion Lewis is going to be back soon. So I'd have to move him too, probably, to really get any value there. Because I don't think anyone's going to just, oh, no, James. Like, if anyone has any kind of research into this, they're going to see James White and be like, no, he's not really valuable. Deion Lewis is the guy to want. Mm-hmm. Now, I do have Deion Lewis on my bench, but I don't want to move both these guys. Deion Lewis is supposed to be my savior right now for when he comes back. Mm-hmm. I'm just in a tough spot, man. I'm in a tough spot.
Well, Chris,
if fucking Lamar Miller would get a touchdown, I would feel a lot better about a lot of things.
Well, that's the scary part. I've been hearing a lot of analysts saying that Lamar Miller might be a sell right now because that offense is sort of not playing that well. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but
they're still number one in their division. Like, they're still number one in their division. Like, they're leading it with two wins and three losses, or with three wins and two losses.
Yeah. I hear you. I don't think they're going to, like, I'm starting to go off of that. I remember early in the season, I was betting money on them winning their division. Yeah, I'm getting a little more worried about that. So, yeah, I don't know.
It just seems that if they're against a good defense, then they just crumble. Like, Brock Osweiler just can't deal with when his weapons are somewhat taken away. Will Fuller last week, 2 points. Like, DeAndre Hopkins saved it in garbage times with a touchdown. No one on that team was fantasy startable. And it says a lot for the Minnesota defense.
For sure.
And for Minnesota, like, just goes to prove how important Minnesota is, or how good Minnesota is this year. Man, if there's a better defense out there, like, show me it. Because Denver doesn't look that good. Denver looked terrible against Atlanta. And Atlanta's offensive line, holy shit, man. Is there a better... Atlanta. I just don't believe Atlanta's doing so good, you know?
Yeah, it's a little surprising. Like, I heard one analyst, because it's the offense, right? Like, though the defense were showing a little strength against Denver, I don't feel like that defense is that scary. I think it's when they got...
Yeah, it's the O-line, right?
Exactly.
The O-line.
Yeah, when they picked Mac up. Yeah, Mac. And, I've been talking about Mac for a little while, too, for the last couple of podcasts. People always talked about him being one of the best centers in the league. You know, people don't really know about him because he came from the Browns. And I've been hearing that he's been calling, because he calls the blocks at the line. He's taking sort of a load off Matt Ryan, and now Matt Ryan can sort of focus more on his part of the game. And yeah, that offense is great. I think, you know, they're going to play Seattle this week. you can maybe just wait, and then I think you try to buy them, but you know, they're gonna have a high price, so maybe it's probably no way you're gonna make that trade. But it's definitely interesting, Atlanta. But I wouldn't be worried about their defense, or I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's Atlanta's defense. It's just, I guess it goes to show that I don't think Denver's defense is as strong as maybe people thought they were. Although I guess if you're going against like a really high powered offense, but I always kind of had the feeling that I think the Super Bowl was a good example of how a good defense outshines a high powered offense, the way they shut down Carolina, and Atlanta went into Denver and just made them look silly, I think.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I didn't watch the game, sadly. Like, I wanted to have a rebuttal for that. That's one of the games that sort of passed me by. For all I heard was sort of like how, because of Paxton Lynch not really playing that well, they just, you know, they couldn't play the game they wanted.
It was a lot of underneath stuff. It's like Denver was good at maybe shortening long ball. That's why Julio didn't really do that great. But a lot of the stuff, so Tevin Coleman had a huge game, is because he would break loose into the secondary, not too deep that he'd be being covered by safeties, but kind of in the middle there, and Tevin Coleman would get hit every time. Like Matt Ryan was on fire as far as hitting those short passes, and then those little short passes were going for distance. Tevin Coleman looked really good. I have a huge hate on for Tevin Coleman just in general. But he looked fantastic.
Yeah, I heard one breakdown on the couch podcast there, and they were saying that
you already listened to that one. That's out already.
Yeah, it was out today. I listened on the car ride home, an hour ago.
So all I had time to listen to was I listened to the two Harris podcasts. I feel like I'm missing out because we did it earlier. I don't get those podcasts that we normally listen to, but I listened to both Harris ones. And anyways, go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Oh, no, it's not a problem. I didn't get to listen to a lot of them either. I didn't listen to the second Harris one, so you can give me a little tidbit about that. They were saying that Denver had a linebacker on Tevin Coleman, and that was sort of when he broke out. Whenever they put a corner on him, they were saying that he was getting, he was getting covered pretty well. But then they went back to the linebacker, which apparently was maddening. They did also point out that they're playing Seattle next week, and Seattle does have really good linebackers and a safety and corner and defense in general. You might want to not, or if you can't, if you don't have to, maybe stay away from Tevin Coleman. But who knows, you know, with the way the Falcons are playing.
Well, you know what's funny is that everyone who didn't start him this week because he had a bad week last week is going to now start him next week because he had a huge game this week, and he's going to shit the bed again. Yeah. So I think it's kind of justice, a little sweet justice if he does do get bad against Seattle. I have a post up here about Lamar Miller. And so there was a lot of hype of him going into week 5 with so many touches without a TD, the most in modern NFL history. And this post is literally about buying low on Lamar Miller. The exact words are, buy low on him any way you can unless you think he's going to shatter NFL records by continuing to go scoreless. And his upcoming schedule, Indianapolis, the Colts, he should be able to, I think he's going to tear up Indianapolis.
Yeah, for sure.
Then Denver, which is obviously a huge downgrade, but he might do okay. Detroit, I think he does really good against Detroit.
Yeah, for sure.
He's on bye next. Then Jacksonville, Oakland, San Diego, Green Bay, Indy again in week 13, Jacksonville, Cincinnati in the playoffs.
That's good.
That's a good schedule.
Yeah. But you have to be not kicked out of the playoffs there, right? Before then.
That's the thing. Yeah, you have to make the playoffs. And, oh, man, it's a long season, but it's not that long. And you could only – I'm now down 3 games. And like you said, I think you said we lose 5 games, right? Because I got to win at least 9.
Yeah,
to make the playoffs.
Yeah, if you go 8-5, you're at least in our league, you're guaranteed to make it. And then if you have a high score, you can make it with 7-6. So I don't know. Six losses you could go up to.
So realistically, though, I know that I'm probably taking a loss week 9. Week 9 is a bye NATO for me. I'm missing, like, half my team is on bye that week, and there's not really too much I can do to fix it. I have AJ Green, Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, I can't even think of who else is, but basically everyone on my team, all my main starters, is on bye that week. I'm projected to get 54 points, and my average getting projected every other week is around 100 to 90, 98 to 100. So I'm basically admitting to I'm conceding a loss in week 9, and it's tough because now that means I'm at 4 losses. Really, I can only have one more to play with. Yeah, that's tough, man. It's going to be a rough couple of weeks. I pretty much have to win out.
Yeah. I wanted, so just to give you sort of insight, so this past week was my bye NATO. And you know what? Looking back, like, first of all, I guaranteed a loss for me. And so I made a couple bad choices, like I pointed out earlier, on my my kicker and even my quarterback, to be honest. But you know what was kind of neat is sort of that freedom to sort of pick the players. Like, there's a lot of times where you have your gut set on a player and you're like, that player is going to do well. But you don't play them because you have to start your studs. There is something about being free to sort of like go over and look for those, you know, those sleepers of the week, and then sort of just using your knowledge to sort of pick through them. You know, that's probably the only reason I was able to play Sammy Coates this week, because if all my starters were there, I wouldn't have, and he just went off, right? And it, you know, feels good. And then now I got a couple players that you know, are now going to be on my team going forward, and or even chess pieces if I want to move them.
Okay, so here's my bye week. So first of all, I think they have the wrong bye week here for Lamar Miller. Off that list I just gave you. Unless they're just labeling off the people who they're going up against and not in order.
Yeah.
But so my bye week in week 9, this is bye NATO. So I have AJ Green on bye, Alshon Jeffrey on bye, Lamar Miller on bye, James White on bye, Gostkowski on bye.
Yeah, it's rough.
The only people on my team that aren't on bye is Blake Bortles / Carson Wentz, Terrence West, Pitta / Cameron Brate, and then whatever defense I have at that point. Like, oh man, is that tough or what?
Well, you know what sort of a strategy in that particular regard is if you trade players for even value that have already had their bye, that's always a sneaky move that I've tried to do in the past. You know, especially having, it's great having all those players with such a late bye week because you can sort of ride them. But now if you can find somebody that's the equivalent to AJ Green or the equivalent to Brandon Marshall, trade them after they have their buys, and then all of a sudden you don't have that bye week. That's an issue.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I wouldn't mind moving AJ Green. It feels like AJ Green is very hit or miss. Like, I knew kind of going into the season from last season that he does have big weeks and he has low weeks, but I kind of thought that would even out a bit with them losing Sanu and Jones. So I guess I didn't expect him to have these low weeks that he's been having lately. And this week was no different. He was very low this week, and he had a huge week last week against Miami, but everyone knows Miami's nothing special, right? So yeah, it's fantasy football, man. It's the stuff that hurts us the most is what we love, right?
For sure. Well, AJ Green got lots of targets. It's just that I think it's Orlando's
game. Pass interference, man.
Or Claiborne. I can't remember what corner was there. Yeah, there were some issues there. Yeah, pass interference got in the way. Like, AJ Green looked great, and they're still targeting him up. But even though by the end, Andy Dalton just said, well, fuck it. They're covering AJ Green. I have to go to Brandon LaFell for the rest of the game. AJ Green's a stud. It sucks that he's playing the Patriots this week, because that's going to be a little tough for you. But look, going forward, like, you're laughing with his schedule. So, yeah, I guess you just got to fight with it. I think because he's going to be strong down the stretch. You got to squeak out some wins. It's really what's got to happen.
Yeah, I know. It just seems my team either is my team is boom or bust. It's either I am getting 115, 114 points, or I'm getting 70. Like, the only thing that I have going for me right now is that I haven't been loser of the week yet. And that's the only thing keeping me going. This week, if I was loser of the week, man, and I don't really know. I think I would have just I don't know what I would have done. It would have been terrible. I would have drunk this whole bottle of fucking Alamo. I was gonna say self-evicted, and I realized that this isn't Big Brother and I can't do that shit.
Well, I was gonna say, is this like a warning sign? Like, you know, there were some early stages before Danny like killed himself because of his fantasy football team.
Oh, jeez. All right, yeah, well, it's tough, man.
All right, yeah. No. Shit. Yeah. Yeah, The thing is, your team looks so good, and now I just see so many holes in it. But, you know, it's anything could happen. You know, like, going into this week, my team was dire. My team's still not great right now, but after Bennett did really well and Sammy Coates did it really well, having a couple more pieces on my bench, like, it's just interesting how fast it changes. You know, with one simple injury and one pickup, your team's also on the best team, you know? So...
I know how it goes, for sure. It's just tough, you know? It's just tough.
Yeah, nobody likes losing.
We can move on.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it sucks losing, man. I hate losing.
Yeah, it was
and I feel like I'm just... I feel like I'm better than those other people in our league, and it just... You know, it's just a fucking pain in the ass, you know?
Well, how about this? How about this? Real quick, when we're talking about losing. So, I lose my game last night, and, like, Mark sort of texted me pretending he doesn't care and all this, and then as soon as he won, he texted me... I won! ! Where I'm like, such a dick move. Like, I would never rub it in his face that I won, but he was rubbing it in. So now he's on the hit list. He's on the hit list. And then he's being all cocky in the channel. He's like, oh, what? I might be in first now. But it's like, dude, you almost schmoed it. Like, to a guy that had Binado. It's like, don't start being all cocky. Anyway, I'm pretty pissed.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah, he's on my checklist now for sure. It sucks losing, man.
So is this a warning sign of that you're going on a murderous rampage, or is this the early signs of that?
Early signs. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, at least you're going the other way with it.
At least my family still has a father. Well, I guess I'm in prison.
That's awesome. Let's talk about because we can do this waivers this week.
Yeah, waivers.
Big time. This is the first time we can actually really talk about it. I can tell you right now, I'm going to use a waiver in both leagues. At least I'm trying to use a waiver in both leagues. I know that I'm in front of you in both leagues as well. So I have nothing to worry about here as far as telling you what I'm doing. So I'm going to be using my number one waiver priority on Sammy Coates. I need help at wide receiver. I'm going to try to get Sammy Coates. If Chris Harris is correct in what he was saying, Chris Harris said that you basically have to rank Sammy Coates as if he was Martavis Bryant. Well, Martavis Bryant, I think, is a guy I would use the number one waiver on. I'm going to use the number one waiver on Sammy Coates in hopes that it turns out good for me. It's not like I have bad wide receivers in that league. I have Marvin Jones and I have – fuck, can you remember the other guy I have? Marvin Jones and
– you already forgot your teammates.
Right, I don't care.
I'm trying to bring it up.
Yeah, it's Marvin Jones and someone else.
This
someone
app else is the decent. Worst app. It's the worst app. All right, here we go. Oh, no, you have Emmanuel Sanders. Marvin Jones.
Oh, yeah. Emmanuel Sanders, Marvin Jones,
and Randall
and then,
Cobb,
Hogan.
Who just went off. Well, not went off, but he had 100 yards.
I still don't feel safe starting Randall Cobb, but I'm going to get Coates because I think, I'm trying to trade him, man. You know how hard it is to make trades in that league?
Oh,
everyone thinks that their guy is so, so exorbitantly amazing. One guy, I was telling you about this earlier, I'm trying to get Matty Ice, friggin' Matt Ryan. Sure, he's number one QB in the league, but this guy is not going to start him. He's going to start Drew Brees. I offered him Randall Cobb and either Kenneth Dixon or Rashad Jennings for Matty Ice. And the guy comes back, how about Matty Ice and Ingram for Bell? And I was just like, are you out of your mind? Like, do you think I'm just stupid and I've given up on football? Like, I'm not going to trade Le'Veon Bell for two pieces of shit. And he's like, well, he's the number one QB. I said, yeah, but you know what the difference is between the number one QB and the 12th QB? It's literally a couple, like 25 points, something like that. I don't know if that's actually the true fact, so don't look it up. But I know in the past, the difference between the number one QB and the number 12 QB isn't a huge gap. It's usually very small, like within 25 points, which isn't going to change win or lose you a season. In my opinion, I don't think QBs have a lot of value. That's why you take QBs late in the draft. That's why late round QB is a thing. The guy just doesn't. The fact of the matter is, he picked Matty Ice off the waiver wire this week. Clearly, people don't need Matt friggin' Ryan. They don't think they need him. They have quarterbacks right now. There's 36 teams in the league. There's going to be at least 12 that are friggin' startable, and maybe you'll have a guy that's better than Matt Ryan, but even Matt Ryan I don't think is going to be consistent through every single week. He's just as likely to put up a friggin' 7 or an 8 as anyone else. So, all right.
you went off. Oh, he just offered me Matt Ryan, Jake and Tammy for Mike Evans. So he's really crushing it on these trade offers. Just now, he just
is that insane?
Me. Yeah,
that's insane, right?
Yeah, what an asshole.
Jacob Tammy? He didn't even think he was worth Ingram, Derek. Like, come on, man.
Yeah. Oh, somebody else just offered me in the other league Bryce Butler for Kobe Fleener. So obviously they just think I'm an idiot.
Like, do they? It's like they haven't listened to one podcast.
It's like Bryce.
These are our friends. We can't get our friends to listen to the podcast. That's unreal, man.
Yeah.
Holy.
Well, hey,
Bryce Butler.
Me.
He thought
Bryce Butler.
Yeah, at least you're getting offers, I guess.
Yeah, like I guess Kobe hasn't done a lot, but there's obviously potential coming off a bye week. You know, they showed some sparks. Yeah, you can't give me Bryce Butler. Like, Dez is going to be back soon, and Bryce is going to be on the bench.
Exactly.
Like, what a bunch of dicks, yeah.
What do they think? Like, oh, man. It's like they literally think that you just don't pay attention at all. You know what? Someone tried to offer me last week for Carson Wentz and someone. Oh, it was like a brutal trade. Oh, I'll see if I can find it. Anyways, let me just finish my waiver wire thing. In the other league, I'm going to go some idiot dropped Tyler Eifert. I think Tyler Eifert's going to be a big tight end. I'm going to try to get Tyler Eifert.
Okay, cool.
Right?
Well, yeah, yeah.
How do you not... How do you not go for Tyler Eifert there, right? I need help at tight end. Mm-hmm. I wait, 2 weeks, and then Tyler Eifert's back full force. And then finally Cincinnati has a second target. Maybe take some attention away from AJ Green. I have no problem going for Tyler Eifert. Those are the two waivers I'm going for this week. But I guess the point here is pay attention to guys that are getting dropped. It's just as important as guys that go off week to week. The guys that get dropped sometimes, especially now when teams are think they're really strong and they need that one little piece. Well, that one little piece might be the savior for your season.
Yeah, 100%. What I have noticed is, there's a strategy to and how to propose trades to people who don't listen to podcasts and don't do their research. That's when you try to trade for players that aren't big on the NFL radar, like a Sammy Coates, with those kind of players. Now, with people with podcasts, sort of people who aren't focusing enough but just listen to like a basic introductory podcast thing, that's when you want to sort of get those people that podcasts aren't talking about because it's assumed they're good. And Tyler Eifert's one of those guys where like nobody's really talking about him. You know, he just got injured. You know, he's not going to be on any waiver pickup list. It's really smart to, you know, try to get that player or, you know, like you said, put in a waiver for him because they're getting dropped because nobody's talking about it because it's assumed they're good. And yeah, there's no podcasts always want to talk about the flashy new thing. So.
Yeah, for sure. And I think Chris Harris talked about that a lot this week, was just basically how people overreacted to things last week. And I think his big thing was that people were talking about starting Vidal Powell over a lot of guys because he had all that attention this week. And, well, he showed it this week. What did he get? He said he got like three catches for, I have no idea how many yards.
Like 40 yards,
but
I think.
But he said if you watch the game, it's not Powell. It's still Forte. It's just that New York couldn't get anything going really on offense.
100%. Now, how about this one? So because it was my bye week, I was looking for replacements. And Wendell Smallwood was like top 25 in a lot of people's lists. And everybody was just automatically assuming, which was really weird, that he was going to get a lot of carries because even though after the bye, Ryan Matthews... wasn't going to need the ball a whole lot. And how did that turn out? Wendell Smallwood literally played one snap. And it's just like, you can't assume these things. It's crazy. And like I said, I even thought about playing him, but I'm like, no, like there's no proof anywhere that he's going to be playing. Same thing with that Terrence
West. Not to mention,
real quick,
there was literally... Okay, go ahead.
Sorry, real quick. Just that Terrence West thing. Remember we were talking about it and you said you picked him up. There was all this talk about Kenneth Dixon. But the only thing that we were ever hearing or seeing on the field was that Terrence West was playing well, and the coach said he was going to make a change. They never once spoke of Kenneth Dixon, and now everybody's sort of off that train. They're like, oh, that knee brace? Oh, he's not making any cuts? Terrence West is like getting coordinators fired because they're not playing him? Like, he was the pickup all along, and it's just these stupid... You can't listen to these narratives. That's what always Harris Football talks about.
Yeah, that's very true. For Smallwood, they were literally talking about how Ryan Matthews, it was still his job, it was still his backfield, he'll be back. He'll be back stronger than ever. And it was all true, but if you listen to podcasts and you read stuff, you get on these hype trains on Reddit, it's all about Wendell Smallwood. Go get Wendell Smallwood. And it seems like they need to fill content as well. And them filling content is trying to be the podcast that was first to say, go get Wendell Smallwood. But it ends up being a bust. And you know what they're not talking about this week is how they all busted on getting Wendell Smallwood and telling you to start Wendell Smallwood this week.
Yeah. Did they say anything? I didn't listen to the CBS podcast, but they
very little.
Him.
Like the only person that I really heard anyone say anything about was Chris Harris saying, "Ah, see, I didn't tell you to go get him." Harris, he, you know how he's got those subtle brags, those subtle humble brags, where he's like, "Oh, well, I didn't tell you. All those people watching box score told you to go get this guy, but I didn't tell you." Like, you know, he's got those little, smug little
cocky
remarks.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Which is great. Like, well, I love it.
He did it, and he was right. Yeah, he's totally right, and I don't blame him at all for doing it. So a guy this week that I think, and I think Harris might have also talked about this, is Booker, Devontae Booker in Denver, because Booker got a lot of touches this week, and CJ Anderson didn't look particularly good. It was a real showing of how the Denver O-line maybe isn't as elite as we all thought, and maybe CJ Anderson isn't as good as we thought. They talked about it briefly on the Monday podcast, and maybe something you should go listen to for yourself, but they basically said, yes, Booker looks good. He looks as good as CJ Anderson, not particularly better, but he doesn't, like, it's not like they're looking to make a change there. It's not like, unless CJ Anderson gets hurt or starts fumbling the ball, it's still going to be CJ Anderson's backfield. And it's not really, and the worst case scenario is that it's going to be a committee, and then you have to deal with another committee somewhere.
Well, how about this, though? Okay, so I hear what you're saying about that, and Chris, and I understand Chris Harris' stance on that, and I think even the guy he had on that podcast was saying maybe buy CJ Anderson, because right now his value might be low because of the scare for Booker. Now, on the Couch podcast, they were kind of talking, you know, they said that same thing, too, like maybe it is time to CJ. Like, they're pretty open about stuff. They're just sort of thinking outside the box. But how about this narrative where, like, they obviously didn't want CJ Anderson in the offseason. They basically let him go look around, right? They didn't do a huge tag on him. They could have done a tag, a non-exclusive tag that they would have actually got him back cheaper, but they didn't. They weren't really willing to spend that much money for him, like originally, until they were forced to when I think the Dolphins put in a bid for him. So it feels like sort of Elway doesn't like CJ Anderson for some reason. You know what I mean? Like, he's not really tied to him. And remember the first game? Didn't Booker get the first snap of that first game? And remember, he fumbled the ball away? But wasn't that a window?
I think you're remembering that wrong. So I'm pretty sure CJ Anderson had a couple snaps, and then Booker went in and then fumbled it on his first snap.
No, I don't think so, man.
I could be wrong, for sure. We should go back and watch the game pass, for sure. But it was definitely early in the game that Booker did get an opportunity, and then he ended up fumbling it away.
I swear it's like the first play of the game, first run play they do, it's Booker, and he fumbles it. And I remember how crazy that was, because I'm like, wow. And then everybody was so excited about CJ Anderson's game, not realizing that the first person to get the ball was Booker. I don't know. I'm going to, full disclosure, Dan, I'm putting in a waiver for Booker. Pete dropped him.
I saw that.
I don't have a lot to lose. You know, if it sucks losing a waiver, but I'm pretty low on the waiver that I'd have to fight my way back up anyway. I'm going to put in for Booker and just sort of take the chance. Because, you know, if he is the next guy, like if Elway doesn't like CJ Anderson, you know, if this offensive line goes sideways, they would have no reason not to go to Booker. They definitely think he's a little faster, like sort of more receiving back. Maybe not as tough. Like, CJ Anderson's probably the better player, but, you know, if Elway doesn't like him, I don't know. So I'm going to take the chance.
Yeah, I completely hear you. I was actually considering doing a double waiver this week and having Booker as well. But then I was like, you know, it's not worth it. I don't want to be 12th. So I'm committing to Eifert. I think Eifert's going to help my team out more than having the potential Booker. Now, listen, I'm on the Booker bandwagon, man. I called Booker to finish in front of CJ. Do you remember the Hot Pocket Takes?
Oh, yeah, like, Hot Pocket Takes.
Just go back
to
that episode, man. I said Booker's going to finish the season as the starting running back for Denver and will finish higher in rushing yards over CJ Anderson. So, like, I'm all for Booker. I think he's great. But I think as far as what my team needs and as far as the value of players available this week, I think Eifert's the guy. Now, my biggest fear is that I'm not first waiver priority, and I wonder if anyone else thinks the same way. Is anyone else thinking that Eifert's worth a high waiver pick? Pete's the kind of guy who might be looking in that direction. Pete's a smart guy. He knows value. You got to figure he's wondering when he's going to use his number one waiver pick, right? Same time, I don't think anyone above me. Now, I'm going to just find out what my waiver is. I think I'm like fifth. Sixth. I'm sixth in the waiver priority. So there's literally five people in front of me who could snatch him out.
Yeah, they might not, though. He kind of sneakily got dropped. It's kind of like that Matt Ryan thing we talked about last week where somebody got dropped and not everybody noticed. I think it's crazy that he held him that long and then dropped him, but whatever, you know, crazy.
Yeah, I don't even get it. And not to mention he was on his IR spot. So maybe he just got switched off the IR because he was practicing.
Yeah, but he would have been out.
Is that the only
thing
that can make sense to you?
Yeah, for sure. But then if he just waited right before the game, he would have been out. So it's just, yeah, it's wild.
Well, it's because he made that trade, though. He made a trade for... he traded Ryan Matthews and someone for Matty Ice. That's hilarious. That's exactly the trade I was talking about earlier. Matthews and Matt Ryan for LeSean McCoy. He traded LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, which is crazy. LeSean McCoy is literally playing a top five back. The thing is, he's first in our league. He's so cocky. He's not good. He's not good. He's really good last year as well. He's getting a lot of luck, but he makes a lot of crazy mistakes. So I think his team is going to go down. Especially Ryan Matthews is great, but I don't know, man. We'll see how it goes.
I agree. I can't believe that. I remember I looked at that trade when it happened. I was like, wow. I don't know if I'd be getting rid of LeSean McCoy. I don't think anyone's really worth Ryan Matthews, I guess, is where I'm at. I think the same guy offered me Ryan Matthews for Brandon Marshall, and I just laughed in his face. I was like, you got to be kidding me, man. Like, do you seriously think I just don't pay attention at all? I'm going to give up a quarterback for... I'm going to give Brandon Marshall for a quarterback? Like, you're out of your mind.
Oh, but I see what you're saying. Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. The guy who traded Matt Ryan away. Try to get Brandon Marshall for him. I think people are just valuing the quarterback too high. Maybe that's what it is right now, is that people are just trying to move Matt Ryan because he's the number one fantasy QB, and they don't want to keep him either, right?
Yeah, they just look at the schedule, hear what all the podcasts say. I think Matty Ryan's going to be a great asset as soon as they're past Seattle. But, no, you're right. You shouldn't value quarterbacks that high, but let's just say I traded away Ben Roethlisberger, and I'm regretting it quite a bit right now, so... You know, I understand getting a quarterback, but with that said, yeah, you can't trade a major piece for a quarterback because, he had Hoyer on his bench at that time, and had he played Hoyer over Matty Ryan, he would have done a lot better in the week. He still won, but still.
Did Hoyer actually do way better?
Yeah, Hoyer got 23 points, and Matty Ryan got 13 points.
You're at 23 to 14. Wow. That's hilarious. So he guaranteed that he traded for Matt Ryan because he was afraid to start Hoyer, and he moved a large piece. I think McCoy was, you think, top five this year.
The way he's playing. I don't know about fantasy, but he's top five running backs in the league right now. 100%.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And I would say Ryan Matthews top 10 maybe.
Yeah. Like, he's good. You'd have to have Smallwood. You'd have to have Smallwood on your bench.
Yeah, you would. And I agree. You'd want to make sure you had that backup just in case. Because obviously, we've talked about this before. Ryan Matthews is made of glass. He's Mr. Glass from Unbreakable. we call him Unbreakable.
he is breakable. He's frequently
broken. Yeah, he's the villain. He's the villain of the guy from Unbreakable.
Yeah,
LeSean McCoy got 15.8 points.
Yeah.
And
all yardage, no touchdowns. He got vulture.
Ryan Matthews got 11 points. So that's incredible, man. What a terrible trade that is. Oh, that's the problem with being number one. I feel like it gets to your head that your team's just so good. You can lose a little piece here. No, I don't need this. But once you lose, it's like Jenga. You lose a little piece here and there. Next thing you know, that whole fucker comes down.
Yeah, for sure.
I really feel like he's headed for a fall.
I hope so. I'm playing him this week. And...
I'm cheering for you 100%.
Like, I beat the last undefeated guy. I beat the undefeated guy, or the other undefeated guy 2 weeks ago. Alex's only defeat. I almost beat Mark. Oh, so I know. I think I'm on the uprise right now. I think I could. I'm looking at the team. It's not great, Julio Jones against the Seahawks. Julio's not going to do well. you know, well, Larry Fitz against the Jets, he is going to go off, sadly. So I don't know. We're, you know, I'll see how it goes, but yeah, he deserves to lose as well. We'll see how it goes.
He does. And then Doug Baldwin against Atlanta. I never think Doug Baldwin. I think I talked about this before. I never think Doug Baldwin's going to do good. Frank Gore against Houston. I don't have high hopes for Gore there, but you never know. Houston's been playing the garbage here and there. Actually, Matthews versus Washington. That's tough.
Yeah. I was going to say, I sadly, getting through last week, I had to drop Tyler Lockett. And I'm pretty upset about it because then my opponent picked him up. Tyler Lockett's going to be good, guys. And this is your last chance to get Tyler Lockett at dirt cheap prices. After seeing how quickly Russell Wilson got healed, and he's very close with Lockett. They're both like very religious. They have something about – they have new ways of healing there in Seattle that are really working. And so I think Tyler Lockett's going to come out pretty strong.
Are you advocating for that his special water that he's drinking?
I didn't hear about that. But he was doing some kind of blood restriction therapy where I think he was like – I don't know. I don't know if he's tying off. I'm full on. But did you see how good Russell Wilson was running around after like – you know, spraining both knees or something against the Jets? It was crazy.
Yeah. He did look really good. And I'll admit that he did look good. He actually looked good. I was down in the States last week in Arizona, and they had some clips of Russell Wilson at the training camp or practice that week because they had Seattle channels for some reason. Anyways, neither here nor there. No, I was staying in Calgary, and Calgary had Seattle channels. And they were showing him at practice. And basically, they're just showing him run like he was. That was the game just before he played the Jets. And I was like, oh, maybe he's not really that hurt. And then he went out and showed us.
Well, that would have helped me with a bet of the week. You could have given me a heads up on that one. Sorry,
Steve. Well, you know, you never believe the the news.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, another one that's probably going to hurt you a lot on his team is Kelvin Benjamin against New Orleans. That's probably going to hurt a bit.
Oh, yeah. That's not the greatest thing to have, for sure. I don't even know if I should keep Grant Gano, but yeah. Anyway, yeah, for sure.
I think you got this.
So, I think we got to go pretty soon here. You want to do a couple of corners of the week? I got the CFL corner of the week, real quick.
Oh, let's do it, man. For sure. Yeah.
All right.
So, what is the CFL? I don't know how we. What's the throw to that one?
I don't know. Like, just, how about
like
this?
All the other ones?
How about this CFL
corner?
Yeah, I like that. That's solid. I love it. So, I want to point out, Dan, that even though you did not set your lineup last week, because the lineup rolls on over, you won your match.
I know. I saw that this morning. I couldn't fucking believe it. I had 62 points. Not only did I win my match, Derek, I beat both you and Richie.
Yeah, I know. It was, and I really it's thought about real. I really thought about my picks too, and they just kind of schmoed. So yeah, no, it is definitely unreal. I cannot believe it.
No, that's awesome. So this week I will set my lineup, but maybe I keep that kicker, man. That Saskatchewan kicker killed it this week. I have no idea how to say his name. It's definitely not Boris Beattie's replacement in the Ferrara. But
yeah, Turler Skirmisher or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. He's Canadian. You barely say his name anyways.
Yeah,
that's unreal, man. So what does that mean for me in the Reddit CFL league?
Well, I was looking to see if they updated it, but they haven't. And I know we got to set it up pretty soon. So I don't know, maybe that guy's just dropped the ball. Maybe he lost, and now he's just like, well, fuck this. I'm not doing just this anymore.
Off. Yeah.
Yeah, because I can't find this fantasy tournament anymore. So, yeah, no clue.
Yeah, I had to actually search it out to find out who I was playing against. I found it earlier today, but I had to like literally search for it.
Yeah, so maybe it'll get posted tomorrow, but yeah, it's not posted yet. But I hope I play against you, because if you know you're going down, I've had three bad weeks in a row on a downward swoop there, but I'm going to figure it out. They've done so many trades. That's the problem with the CFL. At the very end of the season, everybody does all these trades to make their teams better. Like, it's completely different than the NFL, where trades don't really happen. And then I never know who's on what team. And then, like, I remember one year the top running back in fantasy got cut, and then they didn't play him anymore. And I'm like, you're the top guy in fantasy. What? Like, CFL just doesn't make any sense. It's wild.
That's awesome. Yeah, guys. So yeah, I'm coming for you, and coming for the championship.
That and a couple Moore suits.
Yeah, I'm surprised I didn't get one this week. If I would actually try to set my lineup, sadly, it would have been brutal. But I could have possibly won a Moore suit this week. That would have been great.
Oh, man. I'm still trying to. I'm still holding that.
I'm just kind of scrolling down the page on Reddit, Fantasy Football. Listen to this stat. Devontae Parker had 13 targets in his first game back in week two. Since then, he has 12 targets total.
Oh,
Devontae Parker, piece of shit.
Yeah, and you were really excited. I remember you were so excited about that.
I thought he was going to go places. Do you want to do Bet of the Week, or you want to talk a little more about this?
Actually, real quick, the interception
of the week.
All right, I'm pretty sure Quick on the Draw. Quick on the Draw has just posted his defense rankings. I'm just going to double check to make sure it's actually Quick on the Draw and not the other guy that does it. I must be Quick on the Draw. I hope it's... Oh, it is. It is. Okay, he's got a table now.
Yeah.
So now I don't even have to go read his article. So here we go. I'm just straight up stealing it, but not all the way. Maybe it is all the way.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. We'll add one in. We'll add our own in at for number 9.
All right, sure. So Arizona Cardinals, number 1. Pretty decent against the Jets. Oh man, it hurts, but yeah, they're great. Buffalo
number 1 against the Jets. You know what all that is because of all those picks that Ryan Picks Patrick puts up.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and I think the Jets could do a good offensive, but ever since Decker got hurt, that offense has been sputtering as well.
It's tough because they have one target now.
Yeah.
They just go to Brandon Marshall all day.
Yeah. With that said, and I should have done this in my league, I kind of choked. Wait till after this week and then get Matt Forte because his schedule clears up. He looks like he's healing a bit. He might only be a running back too, sadly, but I think you can get him pretty cheap after this week or even right now because I bet you whoever has the Matt Forte owner or whoever is the Matt Forte owner, like myself, they're hating themselves right now for doing a crazy trade for him that I definitely shouldn't have done. So we got the Bills at number 2. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, totally.
All right. I'll just go through it then. New England.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just go down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's Bills playing? I don't even know. Who are they playing?
Yeah. Put me on the spot, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. Well, I don't know either. I can get it. Don't worry. Keep going and I'll talk about who the Bills are playing. Go ahead.
All right. Sounds good. And then it's so New England, then Seattle, obviously. Against Atlanta, though, that's a tough one, man. That's a tough one. Oakland Raiders. They're playing KC. I remember that one. Denver Broncos. You always got to play Denver. Now, the fucking Houston Texans, who I have, that they only got 1 point from me last week. They're playing the Colts, you know, at home. Is that on Sunday night, right? I think I have to play them one last time, but I don't love it. And then Tennessee Titans, who I 100% knew was going to have a good week last week. I kept on saying it to you, Dan. I'm like, I would have picked Tennessee. They got 11 points. Their defense is solid enough, and they're playing the Cleveland Browns. Tennessee is my number 1 defense this week. I'm going to try to pick them up, I think, and just bail on the Texans. I probably won't get them, though, because I'm not waking up too late. And I know they're one of those teams. All the waiver wires are probably talking about them. But fuck, man, I would have won my game if I played the Titans. You know, I got to start going with my gut. When it comes to kickers and defense, you go with your gut. Don't listen to what other people say once you know enough about it, because I fucked myself with Graham Gano and the Texans last week.
Yeah, so the Bills are playing. Ready for this?
Yeah,
Colin Kaepernick in the San Francisco 49ers. Oh,
no wonder.
So they should probably be number 1.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good interception of the week for sure.
Well, it's good. Yeah, it's posted.
Quick Survivor Corner. Now, we can't really divulge anything in our Survivor Corner. But,
no, we didn't watch it.
So like, can we even talk about it? We can't really talk about it, can we? Because it's not really... Because if I tell you anything, I'm going to feel like you're going to switch yours.
Oh, I will.
If you tell me anything.
I haven't even made my votes
yet. So I'm not going to bother.
No. How about just...
Okay, I made my votes today, so...
How about this? The bet...
of...
the week.
Awesome. So once again, bet of the week. Week spelled W-E-A-K. Our bets of the week have been brutal throughout the season. I have yet to give you guys a winning bet of the week. Last week... Big fuck up. I said the Houston Texans would cover the 7-point spread against Minnesota. Wow, what a bonehead call that was.
I got it that one. I got mine right. I picked the Patriots to cover the 10 points. and they covered considerably. So I'm on a roll. I didn't do any betting last week, though. So for whatever that, maybe I jinx it when I actually put money on it. But yeah, I got mine right.
Anyways, I'm going to tell you guys what my bet of the week is and then go ahead and bet against it. I fully support that. You know, I'm going to go with the one that I liked right off the front. It was, oh man, I just lost it. Oh, right off the top. No, there's no way I'm giving you guys that bet of the week. That's crazy. It's too close. I don't want to lose this again. You know, the Steelers. The Steelers are going to cover the 7.5 spread. No, go Steelers straight up. The Steelers are going to beat Miami.
Yeah, you're not doing the spread. You're just doing the straight up.
You know what? I'm doing the spread. Fuck it. 7.5 points. The Steelers are putting up 14 points on Miami. Steelers, the spread, 7.5. That's the bet of the week. And it's a fucking lock.
Lock it up. Yeah. I wanted you to do the spread because I really want, I actually want Pittsburgh to win. I kind of like Pittsburgh this year. So as soon as you pick Pittsburgh, I'm like, make it the spread. Make it the spread, man. Because
they could still lose, but they could still win, but not lose the spread. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Exactly. I totally just jinxed the Pittsburgh Steelers, unfortunately.
All right. So I just looked at it, and I think the lock for me is right now Chicago's a slight favorite, a 2.5 favorite over Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville crushes. So Jacksonville to cover and to win. Actually, just do Jacksonville straight up money line. That's my lock of the week.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good bet, man. I don't think Chicago's good at all. Even with Hoyer, who once again destroying, Hoyer Destroyer is out there destroying once again, man. I read this. I don't know if it was on a podcast or what, but the hilarity that is Brian Hoyer, who just goes into fucking teams as the backup, and then by week 8 he's the starter. Like, he's the guy he's the real QB killer. He goes in there and he just knocks out fucking other QBs, and he's starting by week 5 every team he goes to. It's unreal.
It's very true, but he's playing better than Cutler. I would actually want him more than Cutler. So, fuck
yeah, him. Same. I just wish he would throw to friggin' Alshon a little more.
Well, I was just going to say something that maybe you haven't heard is the rookie that Jalen Ramsey that Jacksonville picked up in the offseason. He's a corner. He is really good. He's playing out of his mind right now. And even though he's a defense, and usually corners take some time to adjust, they're calling him a shutdown corner. If he's on Jeffrey this week, I would not play Jeffrey. And I'm sorry to put that in the back of your head. But, you know,
I'm going to start Jeffrey. Like, I'm not going to start DeVante Parker. Did you just hear that stat I gave you about DeVante Parker?
Yeah.
I don't have any other options. Like,
yeah.
So I'm going to start him either that or I get Doug Martin this week and I try to trade him for Jeffrey for him. We'll see how it goes.
I just want to quickly see who got the targets there in. Well, DeVante Parker was number 2 in targets with 2 for 70 yards. Yeah. Landry only had 3 for 28. And then Williams, the running back, so must have just been chuck downs, 67 yards. You know what? If Foster comes back healthy and he gets like all the receiving and rushing chances, he's going to be good, man. He's going to be good. And you can get him for literally nothing. Now, he's just going to get hurt again, so definitely only pay literally nothing. But, you know, I'm biased because I have Foster in both my teams. But, you know, I don't know, man. Foster can be pretty good.
I was thinking you could probably trade Foster for Matty Ice. I think you can get him.
Yeah. Yeah, but I just have nobody else. I literally only have Elliott because Lamar Miller got hurt, and I just don't know who to play from Oakland. I really just need Foster to play this week. I think that's a safer thing for me. I can go without a quarterback. There's actually quarterbacks. Actually, no, never mind.
You meant Latavius Murray. You said Lamar Miller. You meant Latavius Murray.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah. Definitely meant Latavius Murray. That's my bad. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. I think I'm going to put that waiver in for Booker. It also means I don't need to stay up all night. It's probably a bad idea knowing that you're going to use your waiver, though. Maybe I should climb the ladder. But like, don't you see Booker being that huge waiver pickup in like 4 weeks from now? You know,
I do see him. I do see him being, but the only thing is, I only see him being good if something happens to CJ Anderson. Like, CJ Anderson has to drop the ball. CJ Anderson has to get hurt.
I think they're quick to switch them. They switched. Remember, they've done a lot of, like, in the past, they've done a lot of switching when it comes to running backs.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, they're not afraid to do that. Other teams are, you know, so it's my last chance to get him because I think Pete's going to pick him up again. Cause like, why wouldn't he? He might even use his waiver on him, to be completely honest. I think this is my chance. And then if I use my waiver, fuck it. You know what I mean? I still have to climb the ladder no matter what. I think only you're going to use a waiver over top of me because there's nobody to pick up. I already have Coates and then that Bears wide receiver, Meredith or whatever. I don't know. You know, I don't think people are going to grab. Somebody's going to waiver him. I don't think it's not going to be one of those.
You know, I almost grabbed Meredith on my own last week because I read a Reddit post about him. Someone saying he's a sneaky waiver ad and you should go grab him. And I considered it, but the league that I was looking at him in, I was like, I just didn't want to drop anyone. Even now, I don't really want to drop anyone. I'm dropping Dixon for Sammy Coates. And even that, like, I don't really feel like comfortable with. But I figure I have to drop Dixon. Like, West is definitely the guy there. Coates is potentially Martavis Bryant, right? So you kind of have to do it.
Yeah. I was crazy target-wise? Coates. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Target-wise in Chicago, Alshon is tied with Eddie Royal.
Yeah, it's fine.
And he's actually got less completions than Eddie Royal. And Kevin White leads the team, but he's out now. So they both get a boost up. Zach Miller is third with 29. Unreal, man.
Yeah. Just pass Meredith the ball might be a pickup. Jeffrey. Yeah. I was just going to say, I pondered whether or not Sammy Coates was a guy to trade, but he's getting so many targets, though. The thing is, what if he keeps dropping it? Don't you see, like, isn't there a scenario where then they would have to sort of put Whedon in? I guess they hate Whedon, too, so. I have to keep Coates. Who am I kidding? Unless I get somebody huge
Red Zone?
I have to.
Red zone targets in Chicago? I know. I'm sorry to keep going back.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Zach Miller, number one, was 6. Eddie Royal was 6 in the red zone. Kevin White with 5. Cameron Meredith with 4. And then Alshon Jeffrey with 4. He's 5th. Yeah. 5th in friggin' targets. Unreal. In the red zone. Like, that's where it matters. Oh, man. Yeah. I hate Alshon Jeffrey right now so much. Why did I ever take him, you know? He fell
I almost took him in the draft. You're being all cocky, too.
Just left him. I was being so cocky. I thought he was a good pick. Get him in the third? Holy. Anyways.
You should trade him straight up for Cameron Meredith. Just straight up.
You know what? It'd be good just to have him off my team, you know?
I wonder. You could get a wide receiver 3, but then, you know, that was that rule I said a couple podcasts ago that if it's never put a wide, you know, don't work hard to get a wide receiver 3 on your team. They're always on the waiver wire. You could have played Cameron Meredith this week. You could have played that Thien guy, a Thien from Minnesota. There's always that third wide receiver there on the waiver wire. The problem is you're jailed for to sure. Alshon Jeffrey. I think you sit him until he does something good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I might. I might have to. Yeah, I might be playing Devontae Parker this week. rough.
Yeah.
Okay, Derek. Right. I think that's a good note to leave on. Never trade for a wide receiver 3 because there's tons on the waiver wire. But I got to get going, so I'm gonna wrap it up. Everyone, have a good fantasy football. Hopefully, your fantasy weeks have been better, and hopefully this week I am back to glory and back to drinking the good tequila.
All right. Peace.